Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having an awesome day today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. In fact, I kind of found it humorous today, not that it was funny, but the fact that finally other shows are picking up the fact about the Hearing Protection Act and the correlation between the Las Vegas shootings. And, you know, we did this on Monday. We tied it together on Monday. This is a pretty good article from the Government Rag is the name of the book and the article, and it's by Stephanie Sledge. She goes, there's a direct relationship and correlation between the hotel restaurant industry, the Hearing Protection and Share Act, and the shooting in Las Vegas. What is it? More security, more jobs, more gun control, America under surveillance, housing prison cells of lies and deception, terrorism from inside out. Imagine the future of America in the hotel restaurant industry, visualizing checking into any hotel where your bags are searched, your personal belongings are rummaged through, and you have to walk through a scanner to get in. Your license plates on your car are run in the parking lot, and background checks are being performed at the time you make a reservation. The shooting in Las Vegas will bring more jobs to so-called national security, more ways to invade your privacy, most likely make stiffer regulations for future hotel restaurant industry managers who have certifications or special clearances. And then she's going on, they were looking for laxer rules. And this article starts getting really good here. She goes, prior to the mass shooting in the Las Vegas gun and hunting lobbies, companies were looking to Congress for laxer rules on suppressor sales on silencers. Hunters were looking forward for Congress to examine more protection for their hearing. Since 1934, one of the most highly regulated firearm laws has been gun silencers. The call of Congress to eliminate or remove these restrictions has also been one of most recent battles between the gun owners and control freaks and the gun and hunting industries. And then she says that she starts talking about what was going to happen with the Hunting Recreation Act and all the different things were going to change and that they were going to be able to get silencers and a lot of other things a lot easier. And so it's interesting to me because we covered this all on Monday and Tuesday, so I'm not going to repeat all of this. But then she says something else. And I hadn't seen this one yet. She goes, most notorious gun control advocates, such as Mark Kelly and former congressional woman Gabrielle Giffords, she was shot, if you remember, also in bed with Hillary Clinton, are calling for stricter laws and specifically targeted for silencer in their speech this morning. Giffords, who is a Jew, who has dual citizenship with Israel, always shows up following any major shooting event to convince the nation that we need more laws, which include stricter background checks and mental health agendas, as they play off the roles and justification by claiming they are responsible for gun owners. To me, it's interesting to me, and we talked about this repeatedly, about all the dual citizenship people in Congress from Israel, and to me, it should be completely and totally illegal. If you want to be a citizen of Israel or Switzerland or Germany or anywhere, it doesn't make a difference, you should be that country and not a dual citizenship and being in our government. I think that's completely wrong, and it's a complete and total conflict of interest as far as I'm concerned. And remember, she goes, other shootings include the recent congressman baseball shooting, which have also targeted the Sportsman's Heritage and Recreational Act. So this is something that we need to understand that finally, you know, people are starting to wake up on this, and we're trying to believe this 64-year-old retired guy kind of out of shape lugged all these weapons upstairs. And the other thing, too, Austin, they're saying that the AR-10 was also in the room, which can be a drum-fed 223, a 308. And the thing that I don't understand, and this is something that you guys are going to have to think through with me, I have fired automatic weapons. And when you fire automatic weapons in a full auto mode on a 100-round drum, the barrel starts to glow bright red. It gets super, super hot. Now, here's the thing I don't understand. If they're firing an AR-10 with 308s and they've got a 100-round drum and they're melting down a barrel in the hotel room, that casing, when it comes out of that gun by the 50th or 60th round, is going to be red hot. I'm talking starting a fire on paper. It's going to be that hot. If you've ever been at a gun show or be at a gun range and someone shoots a casing off and it jumps a couple rows over and it lands on you or touches you, it is hot, hot. By the time you run 50, 60 drums through an AR-10 or an AR-15 or even 100 drums, you're going to have burn holes all over the carpet in that hotel room. I mean, it's going to start smoldering. It's going to have holes everywhere, like dropping a doggone cigarette butt on the carpet floor. It's funny, the photos that I've seen, there wasn't one single burn hole on the carpet in that room. So to me, it's just another big hole in this story. How can you run a 100-round drum, dump out an AR-10, and not have burn holes in the carpeting or at least around the drapes or somewhere before, you know, this thing gets put out. I mean, this I'm surprised he didn't start the whole hotel room on fire if he had carpeting everywhere, unless it has some type of anti-flame retardant on the carpeting, but it wouldn't matter. It would still char the carpet, Austin. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and another aspect, too, and I heard somebody bring this up, and I haven't been able to get a straight answer, is whether or not the fire-retardant sprinkler system went off. If you've ever shot in an indoor range, anybody's listening, you guys know, I mean, just shooting a magazine, a pistol magazine, you know, 10, 15 rounds, you got smoke all in your face. Even with clean ammo, there's smoke everywhere. When you're discharging automatic weapon fire, it's very hot, it's very smoky, it's very stifling. It's almost hard to breathe when you start burning through that much ammo, especially in an indoor area like that. Now, supposedly, he did have two windows broken open, which allowed for a cross breeze to essentially flush some of that smoke out. But I have a pretty strong feeling that you start doing that after about 400, 500, 600 rounds, you're eventually going to set off the fire retardant system and sprinklers are going to come on. I don't know because I'm not in that hotel. I don't know how their system works. But again, multiple other scenarios of this stuff that's going on that's very, very strange. Also, the fact, too, from the photos that I've seen now, they're saying he had like 24 weapons in the room. Almost all the guns had bump fire stocks on them, which bump fire stocks are not that easy to use. I've used them numerous times. They essentially allow you to replicate full auto fire. They're not very accurate, though, because you can't really get a good shoulder piece on it. What it does is it allows the rifle and the buffer tubes actually move inside of the stock, and your finger stays fixed in front of the trigger with a plastic piece. So the gun actually creates its own rapid fire with its movement inside the stock. Now, if you practice with it enough, you can get pretty decent at them, but it's still a lot more difficult to control than actual true full auto fire with a full auto trigger sear pack. And the other aspect, too, that I was looking at with some of the photos, and I already knew this was going to happen. A, everything they're saying he bought was legal, which that may be true. All the firearms are legal. The bump stops were legal. The magazines were legal. All this stuff is legal because they want to make sure that this is something that they can turn around and say, well, we need to ban this. We need to regulate this. We need to regulate that. And what you were saying back earlier, Dad, a second ago, with the metal detectors and all that, you know, I thought about this today, too, because I was reading some stuff and I was thinking about it. As of right now, you know, after 9/11, we had the explosion of the TSA. Then you had Michael Chertoff, who's also, by the way, a dual citizen, Israeli and U.S., who was the head of the Homeland Security until 2009, just by the way. He owned and ran the company as far as the OSI systems and the scanners, the rap scan systems that he sold to the U.S. government to be used in the TSA systems, made tens of millions of dollars on them. He's a very, very shady individual. Anyways, but what my whole point in getting to that is, think about it right now. Already as we speak, we're essentially in a total surveillance state. All sporting events, all stadiums, almost all concerts, most movie theaters now and convention centers all have metal detectors or scanners or x-rays that you got to run your bags through and they check through. All of them. All theme parks, Disney World, Epcot, Universal, Busch Gardens, SeaWorld, all of them, they all have metal detectors. They all check your bags. They all run through x-ray scanners. All airports have TSA, scanners, x-rays, body scanners. Majority of mass transit now in most large areas, trains, subways, all that already have x-rays, scanners, if not metal detectors. The next step, guys, is hotels and casinos, at least major
That's
hotels
right.
and casinos. This will literally, think about this for a second, just think about this. As of you go right now, most places, you go and think about any big areas, you really can't take a firearm just by default because you get metal detected. I've gotten busted so many times going into places with metal detectors. I forget I got a gun on me. I run through a metal detector. I said, what do you got on here? I got a pistol on me. Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. I forgot. I didn't realize I was going through a metal detector. I feel like every time I go somewhere, I go through the metal detector. Now, we need to take that back out of your truck. All right, fine, whatever. Leaving. I've had that numerous times. Same thing with knives. I always get busted with knives on me. You don't think about it. It's just second nature. You have them all the time. Doing this now with hotels, casinos, on top of sporting events, stadiums, concerts, movie theaters, theme parks, airports, mass transit, they are literally going to make it almost impossible to A, not be patted down and go through a metal detector and have your rights violated just by going almost anywhere now. Malls, schools, casinos, hotels, all this stuff now, they're saying that they need to have metal detectors and TSA security. And B, you're not going to be able to carry a firearm anywhere for self-defense. This is going to essentially make the Second Amendment void without passing a single bill or any legislation at all. If they make it illegal to go into a store because metal detectors, they have TSA, to go to a restaurant, to check into a hotel, to go to a stadium, to go to a theme park, to go into an airport, to go into a casino, to do any of this stuff, you can't bring a firearm because of metal detectors. You're literally not going to be able to carry a concealed firearm anywhere. And I've also, too, been trying to dig this up today to figure out what's going on, because along with the Sport Materials Recreational Enhancement Act, which is the SHARE Act, which had the suppressor bill in it that was getting rid of that, you guys also know the NRA has been pushing significantly at the same time to get the state concealed carry law reciprocity bill passed, which now apparently looks like that is going to be shelved as well, which is going to allow concealed carry permit gun holders to carry at all states. So not only are we going to not deregulate suppressors, we're not going to open up the NFA, we're not going to allow reciprocity with concealed carry owners, now we're going to essentially make the police state even vaster with making metal detectors and x-rays at almost every single public event we go to, guys. This is just boggles my mind when I had this revelation today. This is what they're about to do next. Everywhere on the media I've watched today, everybody, we need x-rays, we need metal detectors at hotels, we need them at casinos, well, we need them at restaurants too, all major restaurants, we need them at malls as well, we need to start doing baggage checks. It won't be that inconvenient. All you gotta do is walk through a metal detector, have them check your bag, and you walk in. You're only gonna be 15 to 20 seconds inconvenience, but it'll keep you safe. That's what they've been saying. I've heard that numerous times now. It'll keep you safe. Well, here's the thing, guys. What is my safety and my actual rights? Where do those lines draw? Because if my safety means that I have to give up all my constitutional rights so you can protect me, how'd that protection go for everybody at the concert on Sunday that had to go through metal detectors and had to have their bag scanned at the concert? How'd that go for everybody? Not that carrying a concealed carry firearm would have been able to prevent anything, honestly. Wouldn't really. The guy's shooting from 600-800 yards away with bump fire, simulated machine gun fire. You're not going to be able to do anything with that. But again, what is this concept even going to do to protect us any further? How is it going to further benefit us at all, except further make the police state that much longer, that much stronger, that much more financially unstable as far as how much money they're taking? And I thought about that today, and especially after we're going to see now that Chertoff and Sheldon Adelson, Sheldon Adelson is a billionaire, dual citizen again, Jewish businessman who owns the Sands Hotel in Las Vegas and numerous other Vegas properties. He's already came out now and said he will be happy to put the body scanner machines in hotels, body scanner machines, not metal detectors, body scanner machines in his hotels in Vegas, which if he does that precedent, that is going to set up the entire strip for putting out body scanners as well, because if he does that, the Bellagio is going to do it, the MGM is going to do it, they're all going to do it, Caesar's Palace is going to do it, because essentially once one does it, everybody's going to feel like they're not being secure enough if they don't do it, and they're all going to have to fall in line and do it, essentially making Las Vegas a giant police state to do anything at all. You won't be able to carry a firearm really essentially anywhere unless you're driving in your car or on private property. Essentially, to me, it seems like this is where it's going. Now, I am very proud of Scalise, from the congressman that got shot back in June that was really pushing the SHARE Act. He is the House Majority Whip, Steve Scalise. You guys know he pushed the SHARE Act. He basically said now, after getting shot at the GOP, that it has strengthened his views against gun control. He just did an interview with Fox News' Martha McCollum last night and responded to the deadly mass shooting in Las Vegas and said they have not changed his views about the constitutional Second Amendment in a negative way. It has fortified it even further. Scalise said that lawmakers should focus on supporting victims and law enforcement that are involved in shootings before advocating any legislative response whatsoever. Now, Scalise said he is absolutely not in favor for any more gun control, and this is coming from a man that took an AK round through his hip and pelvis. It has resulted in multiple surgeries. He's still undergoing outpatient rehabilitation and requires crutches and a scooter to get around. He returned to the White House last week for the first time since he was shot. Now, I'm very proud of him that he has come out publicly and stated this in the wake of all these absolutely moronic liberal media representatives, all these guys talking about how we need more gun control in every aspect of the United States. He's coming out and saying the opposite, and that nobody can argue with him with any type of legitimate rebuttal, because he straight up took AK rounds to his body and survived. And he says we need more people that can secure one another with private citizens' firearms, and there is no reason to have Second Amendment rights degraded whatsoever, because all that does is allow shooters or people that want to do other people bodily harm that much more of a chance to do so when the population is disarmed. It's the same thing I said yesterday. I have the, in a sarcastic manner, by the way, if you guys didn't pick that up, I have the best idea, the perfect idea to prevent mass shootings from ever happening. Make murdering people illegal. If you make mass shootings illegal, essentially nobody would ever do mass shootings. But never mind, that wouldn't work, because we already have it on the books that it's illegal to shoot somebody in cold blood. So obviously this doesn't work. This concept seems to elude these people significantly. And another thing that I just pulled up today on top of this, which I have no idea if this is related, but I am going to be praying for the Bundy boys, because as you guys know, Clive and Bundy and six other defendants in the Nevada standoff case, they have now stated today that jury selection will start October 10th in Las Vegas for Bundy, two of his sons, and four of his men that were indicted on the federal charges for the Bundy standoff that was in Nevada in 2014. The Bundy, Centilli, and Payne each face 15 charges, including conspiracy, assault, and threats against federal officers, firearm charges, obstruction, and extortion. Conviction on these charges carry the possibility of more than 100 years in federal prison. Now, I have no idea if this is related at all, but however, this attorney that's representing them is going to have one heck of a time convincing a jury in Las Vegas now that they should have all charges dropped and be acquitted, when the prosecuting attorney puts photos up of these guys pointing ARs at federal officers off that bridge back in 2014.
There you go.
This is going to be a very, very difficult case now for them to fight. I'm not even being negative. That's just a straight up fact, guys. So we need to be praying for them that they really get some true constitutionalists on that jury, because if they get a bunch of liberals or they get anybody on that jury that has anybody related to that shooting on Sunday, they are going to be in a serious heap of trouble now that they're starting jury selection 7-8 days after the shooting in Las Vegas. That's a pretty big issue to me, Dad. Again, I don't know if it's related, but man, that's some really rough timing for them if it's not.
You're absolutely right, Austin. Oh, by the way, other research is now coming out that the quote-unquote shooter may have been taking psychotropic drugs or anti-anxiety medication, which can make you very irritable. And I'm going to say a few things. I'm kind of going off the record here. Now, this is my opinion, so I'm not going to put myself out on a limb saying this is true, but I'm going to say this anyhow. When I wrote a book. This is true. As far as I know, this is true, because I wrote the book. I wrote a book called Maximum Solutions for ADD, Autism, and Learning Disabilities, back in the early 2000s, I think 2002 or 3. It was released by Charisma House. And what was interesting about this is I went back and I looked at all of the shootings, like with Columbine and all of the people that were killing people back in the 90s, and these were actually shootings that actually took place, just like this one in Vegas actually did take place. And every single one of these kids that had been a shooter was on drugs. Now, I don't know, like I said yesterday, if they wound him up, if he was part of an MK Ultra program as far as when he was younger or even now under some type of psychotropic drug control. I don't know. I don't even know if he was really the one in the room doing the shooting. I don't know if there were other shooters in there and he was already shot in the head and dead when they were doing this. There's too many unanswered questions as far as what happened with this guy, who this guy is, why his girlfriend has already fled back to the Philippines, why he wired $100,000 to her before the shooting, and why she had already been shown to have been married to two different people using multiple Social Security numbers. This is some crazy stuff. And so there's so many unanswered questions here with this guy, whether he was a wound-up little remember the movie, that last one, with the Bourne Ultimatum or whatever it was, in which, you know, I forgot the guy's name. He basically was working with his doctor, who had another doctor, and they were working in this program, who they had wound up, turned loose, and he killed all the other doctors in the room, and then basically tried to kill this girl, and then Rachel Weisz, and then ended up basically killing himself. Now, these programs are so powerful when they're told to execute the programming and start shooting people and then kill themselves. This could be what happened. It could be that he was in the room and these guys were in a different location shooting, and they already had staged the entire room before the shooting took place, which means that all the casings were on the ground. They were cold casing. That's why the carpets didn't get burned. They could have gone ahead and put some gunpowder residue in there to show that some gunpowder had been discharged in there. There's all kinds of forensics that are going to be done here. He could have basically, you know, put a plastic bag with masking tape over the smoke detector, Austin, to stop it from picking up the smoke. He could have done that too.
That's true.
There are all kinds of things that could have happened with this guy that we don't know, that are a bunch of unanswered questions, like the Pulse shooting in Orlando. I've never seen a release yet of the final police report of the Pulse shooting in Orlando.
Nope.
Made public to the public. You don't see any of this stuff. No one ever gets to see the final information about what happened and when it happened. Now, I've got a question here, and this is something that ties right back together with what I'm saying. Why did they take so long to take out this guy if they knew what room he was in and what floor he was in? Why did the police officers wait outside his room for more than 24 minutes? Police first received the report of gunfire at the Route 91 Harvest Festival in Las Vegas at 10:08 on Sunday, but it was 72 minutes before SWAT teams burst into his room. An officer told dispatch that they were armed and ready to enter the room at 10:55, but they were told to wait until SWAT arrived. After 24 minutes, SWAT teams burst into the shooter's Mandalay room at 11:21 and found the 64-year-old had shot himself. Police have not yet explained why the officers were delayed. Chris Berthel, who was in the room just a couple of floors below the shooter at the Mandalay Hotel, had called the police to alert him to Paddock's location. He is questioning why it took so long for the cops to respond. It took them too long to get over here to take him out, said the Iraqi veteran. Now, the question I have with all of this, when you have these staged shootings, which are being done either from a different location or from that location or from top of the roof of the hotel, you know, using flash suppressors, there's all kinds of ways you could do these things. Why in the world would they take this long, over an hour, when they said he shot for up to 10 minutes or whatever it was, why in the world would they take this long to do this and to breach this room? It doesn't make any sense to me unless they were told to stand down, which they were, and by who? Maybe the other guys who were in the hotel were still vacating the hotel who had been shooting also, or maybe they were shooting from a different rooftop. Maybe they were shooting from a different location altogether, and this staged room was left, and they had to break the windows out of it and then basically leave that room, because we do have people that were running in security guards' outfits running through the hotel that they were chasing. So there's too many questions about this being a staged event. I don't believe this guy was doing the shooting, and if he was doing the shooting, I don't believe he was doing it alone. And I believe there were other places that were also doing the shooting. I think this is a whole nother can of worms that we're never going to be told the truth to. The police are never going to release it like with the Pulse shooting, and we're never going to find out what happened, Austin. I remember when you and I went by the Pulse nightclub, the gay club in Orlando. They got shot up a year ago. You and I drove over there. There were people everywhere. There was an 8-foot chain link fence that had been erected around the facility. We had been told that they had basically had a gun fight out in the front parking lot, and the whole club had been shot up on the outside because they were exchanging fire with the gunmen. When we got there, there wasn't one bullet hole in the stucco anywhere on the club. We talked to two police officers on one side. They refused to give us any comment whatsoever. There was another officer, he was either police or sheriff, on the other side sitting in the vehicle by himself. We got him to roll his window down and talk to us, and he told us, everything they're telling you about this is a lie. None of it's true. None of what they're telling you in the media is true. Now, this is what the police guy told us, right on the spot. Me and Austin, this isn't some first-hand thing or second-hand thing or third-hand thing. This is first-hand. He told me and Austin when we were at the Pulse nightclub at the gay club and it was closed, and they put chain link fence around it. He told us everything we had been told by the media was a lie, period. And he said, it's all going to come out. Well, guess what? It hasn't come out. So something else is going on in all of these false flags, whether people get shot, whether people don't get shot, like Sandy Hook, or all these other things that are happening. It's just a giant mess. And these guys, these dual citizens, how should I say it any nicer than that, have the ability to twist and contort things. Guys, I have had it with this mess in Washington and these Sabbatean cabalists, these international bankers, ruling us as if we're a bunch of peasants. I'm over it, Austin. What do you think?
Well, and if you guys remember, and I talked about this in detail, one of the aspects that never made sense, and it's the exact same scenario that happened here, when the individual supposedly went into the nightclub at the Pulse, there was a security guard outside that supposedly he got in a shootout with, and there were six police that arrived on the scene literally within a minute. Because this is like in downtown Orlando almost. The police officers arrived in a minute. They broke a window out and tried to engage the shooter and actually started to go into the nightclub and then got orders and were told to stand down he continued to shoot inside the nightclub. And if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me right, they said that they waited about 15 to 20 minutes, could have been longer, until the SWAT team got there. Then the SWAT team sat there for like 15 minutes before they breached the Pulse nightclub. It was the exact same scenario from the beginning of the shooting to when SWAT actually entered the building was almost an hour. And multiple people brought this up and asked me why. And I said, I don't know, because one of my good friends is on SWAT in our Polk County Sheriff's Department. And these guys train on a regular basis for situations like this. They are the rapid response team to engage active shooters immediately. They're wearing full Kevlar all the way around, soft armor, backed with level 4 plates all the way around. They are geared up. They have fully automatic MP5s and select fire M4s. They are not by any means as far as undergunned whatsoever for any situation. So why, when you have a shooter that's just shooting essentially a machine gun from an open window in a hotel, are you going to take over an hour to breach the room essentially and stand there for 20 minutes until you're given orders? The exact same thing happened at the Pulse. They stood there for like 20 minutes while the dude unloaded on everybody in there and couldn't go in. We're told not to go in. Do not enter. And then they say, well, it's for the officer's safety. Listen, these guys sign up for this. I would not order them into the room, but if they say, listen, we're trying to save lives, this is our job, we know the risk when we signed up to it, we're entering the room unless you're giving us stand-down orders. If I was a lieutenant, I would say, you're entering at your own risk, I can't protect you, SWAT's not here, I do not have backup for you. If you want to go in and try and prevent this, go for it, all you guys are trained. That's what I would say. I would not say, well, you guys need to watch out, you need to stand here for about 20 minutes and make sure everybody gets massacred first before you go in there, because I wouldn't want you guys to actually get in a hostile situation. I mean, I know you're police and all, and you already have ARs in your trucks, and the DHS has been giving the police departments every type of military equipment under the sun for the last decade, but that's besides the point. We don't want you guys to get in any type of hostile situation. I'm not saying that, guys, in sarcastic towards the police, but I'm saying the irony that we're sitting here looking at. These guys have literally been given hundreds of thousands of dollars per each police department and all types of military gear, from body armor to machine guns to helicopters to MRAPs to night vision, everything, so they can be a stronger fighting force against any terroristic behavior or mass shooting that happens. Yet it seems like every mass shooting that happens, SWAT takes forever to assemble, and then when they get there, they get stand-down orders and are told to hold their position for 10, 15, 20 minutes before they enter the facility. Why is that? Why do they have the ability, the tools, all the firearms to handle any situation that arises, yet they always wait to the end of the situation to enter the scene and then somehow miraculously always enter the building and the shooter's already killed himself? That's just my question on it. I don't understand this. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And again, they're saying now that this guy essentially had like no digital footprint. You can't find him online at all as far as his Facebook, like hardly any photos, his background with stuff. He's basically a multimillionaire retired accountant that's worked for IRS, that's worked for Lockheed, that's worked for all these different corporations, has a $400,000 house, has planes, has doggone pilot's license, all this stuff now. And so he just got up a couple months ago and decided he was going to amass a $100,000-plus arsenal with over 20-plus AR-15, AR-10 rifles. literally hundreds of magazines, tens of thousands of rounds of ammunition, and go up to a hotel room by himself with nobody ever noticing over the last couple months of anything suspicious whatsoever, set up this whole scenario, take this out, literally loaded for bear. If you look at the photos in the room, he literally has piles of loaded magazines by the pillars still, piles. I mean, there's one photo, there's 1,100 round Surefire magazines. As soon as I saw them, I knew exactly what they are. They're 100 round Surefire magazines. They're big, silver, and fat, and they feed machine guns very, very efficiently. Stacked up, completely loaded, neatly packed up, all beside there. Rifles laying all over the room, brass all over the room, empty magazines all over the room. And he's sitting there, just shoots 500 plus people by himself, supposedly. Supposedly has two cameras in the hallway for surveillance, another camway in the peephole for surveillance. He's completely loaded up with thousands of rounds in already loaded magazines ready to go. And he gets done with this, and SWAT's going to breach his room, and he puts a pistol in his mouth and shoots himself. Really, guys? Does that make any plausible sense whatsoever that you would go through the long premeditated action of getting all this stuff situated? Benzodiazepines, pharmaceuticals or not, he probably was on pills. I don't doubt that one bit. But again, you literally just shot 500 people by yourself and you're afraid to get in a firefight with a SWAT team? I don't buy it one bit. My opinion, what I think's going on with this, I think this thing was staged from the beginning. I think he's either a patsy or they set him up or they got him to get involved with something like the FBI loves to do. Always remember this, guys. Almost every time we turn around, the FBI is involved in another fake sting where they find some moron that's either an idiot or he's doped up, and they give him fake C4 and tell him to go put it on a bridge, and he puts it on the bridge and hits the detonator, and they say, oh, well, guess what? You were just engaged with conspiracy to commit murder and plant bombs on a federal building and a federal bridge and all this nonsense. You're going to prison for 50 years now. And they look at him and go, what? What did I do? They say, oh, you're busted now. Congratulations, we thwarted an FBI attack because this guy would have gotten C4 and would have done this if we wouldn't have stopped him. Really? Because I don't really know too many people, actually anybody, that knows where to get plastic explosives. So they set these guys up. They bring all this stuff in. And notice, guys, they didn't do it with any belt-fed machine guns. They didn't do it with any machine guns, any automatic rifles. They used store-bought slide fire, supposedly, where all the guns are in the room, 100-round magazines, assault EOTechs and ACOG sighting systems on multiple of the rifles in there, and tons of ammunition. All this stuff is done so they can say, oh, we got to ban bump fires. We got to ban ARs again, or we have to regulate them, or we have to ban high-capacity magazines, and we have to regulate them. That's where all this stuff is going now. They set it up perfectly. I do not think for one second this guy was involved in this all by himself, and I'm with Dad. I want to know why his girlfriend's already out of the country, and she had $100,000 wired to her, which is pretty odd to me. Like, somebody had her involved in something, and they told her to leave and paid her off, and shut up, don't say anything about this. Here's $100,000 and get out of the country. This is what we're about to be involved in. Whole thing just reeks of some type of weird setup, false flag. Then you factor in that the Share Act's gotten shelved, the reciprocity concealed carry Act's gotten shelved, and now every single hotel, restaurant, and mall in the country is screaming for metal detectors and x-ray scanners now. This is not coincidence at all, Dad.
Wow. Okay. Number one, the lady who, his wife, his girlfriend, who with the multiple social security numbers, married to two people at one time, she could have been in this thing for the money. She could have delivered him to the hotel. She could have got him to the room. She could have done everything else that they could have wired the money to her, that she could have bailed out. That could have happened because she's definitely out of the country. She could have basically given him over to them to use as a patsy. He could have been the one doing the shooting along with other people in the room, and they finally decided to go ahead and kill him, and then they were able to leave the room. Or they were using multiple locations where they have to worry about it. If they're sitting in front of the – one more thing. If this guy is – this he's shooting 500-600 yards downhill, right? Using an AR-10 and an AR-15, and he wounds almost 600 people and kills 60. If this was in a battle situation and he was in Vietnam and he was firing at enemy combatants, he'd get the Congressional Medal of Honor for this, because this is one of those things that I've never heard of one person doing in my entire life in any battle scenario, if he was firing at enemy combatants. I mean, this guy... Are we talking Jack Bowers? Are we talking James Bond? Who are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know, some secret agent guy? No, we're talking about a 64-year-old fat guy who basically wears glasses and is a CPA. I mean, are you kidding me? Who's never been in trouble with the law. And now they're saying that his girlfriend may have radicalized him. That's the new narrative, which is trying to push the Mancini letters with the Albert Pike in the Third World War with the Muslims fighting the rest of us. And there's no proof to any of this. He wasn't wearing a beard, which is what Muslims do. He wasn't screaming Allah Akbar. He wasn't doing that. I mean, all he was doing is laying on the floor dead when they got there. Now, here's the other scenario you can look at. I've got 25 people about to breach a room with SWAT. They've been up there. They've been there. I call them up, and I'm saying, we just got orders from up above. Stand down. Well, why are they standing down? Well, you got CIA, you got Mossad, and you've got mercenary operatives in the hotel doing shooting from who knows what locations with muzzle suppressors, who knows what they're doing. And suddenly, you know, they've got to vacate the room. So what better way is to do that is get all the armed personnel in the hotel and the police on that floor in a frozen position so they can't move to give these guys a chance to get out of the hotel and to basically vacate their positions. Same thing happened in the Pulse nightclub. All of these stories are the same. And all of a sudden, they pop this guy, blow his head off before the shooting ever begins, or immediately after the shooting begins, walk out of the room. Where are the cameras? Where are the video? Where's the video footage? Remember, all of the video cameras and all of the security systems for 9/11 were disabled before 9/11 happened. And to blow it, and for everything else, this is the crazy thing. The reason that these people were in position when they first started firing at them, they were doing another drill. They were doing an active shooter drill at the Mandalay that day. I kid you guys not. I mean, this thing really is just over and over and over and over and over again, like Austin said, to rip our rights away from us, to turn us into a feudal state, and have apparently dual citizens from who knows what countries rule over us and make the laws for us. I mean, this is so twisted and messed up. I cannot believe this is happening. And we're continuing to see this over and over and over. But yet, the sheeple in America would rather look at Kim Kardashian's butt. They would rather look at American Idol. They would rather, that's off the air now, thank God, that nasty mess. They want to look at, you know, America's Got Talent. They want to look at all the other things that are on. Now they've got The Voice back on with that Satanist Miley Cyrus being forced on everybody's throat with Blake Shelton and the rest of the gang, which I like Blake, but they put this girl on there, which I will not watch. And all of this stuff, the filth, the perversion. We have Hugh Hefner suddenly drops dead, dies, but in the 90s, but it probably was natural causes because he was so old. But this weirdo pervert was under investigation for all kinds of stuff, including sex pedophilia and all kinds of other things that he was about to turn state evidence on, according to some of the research that I've read, and he drops dead. I mean, all of this stuff, Puerto Rico. Now we've got another hurricane headed towards Florida. God, this is a gift that these guys just keep on giving. Another hurricane headed this way, and we're thinking, you know, more obfuscation, more this, more that, more this. Don't watch what we're doing. Just don't pay attention to anything that we're really doing. Just ignore everything and go back to sleep and let us make sure we stop all relaxation of guns. That's this whole thing, Austin. This is absolutely nuts what we've been told to believe. It's absolutely ridiculous. But to change the topic, unless you have something you want to say about that, we have now, like I told you guys a long time ago, discovered a new source of radioactive waste leaking into the ocean 60 miles from the site of the Fukushima disaster. I reported on this story 2 years ago, in which the underground aquifer that runs underneath Fukushima is dumping this stuff everywhere, and there's like a river of water that is dumping this stuff up and down the coastline, and it is completely and totally polluting that area of the country with radiation, and some believe the entire Pacific Ocean. Austin, what do you think about all of this?
It's pretty horrible. Definitely, that's a nightmare with Fukushima. That's another thing that just nobody really wants to talk about. So it's nasty. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on over there. It's completely polluting the Pacific. It's been nonstop. And again, it's just one of these things that it's like, it's just ho-hum, ho-hum. nobody really wants to address it with anything. And that's, and again, when you see stuff like this happen, like in Vegas, this is what they do with it. They use it as obfuscation to make sure they cover up anything and everything else that's going on. Everything. That's what they do with it now. I mean, it's going to be on the mainstream media. It's all they're going to talk about now for the next 3 to 4 weeks. Then it's going to be gun control. Then it's going to be all these different topics they want to talk about with surveillance, with x-rays, with body scanners, with metal detectors going in and out of buildings. It's all they're going to do with it. And, again, it's going to be another massive invasion on our rights. But another kind of funny topic for today to change this topic with it. Matt Drudge now criticized Amazon owner Jeff Bezos on Twitter over the Washington Post blackout of the recent $300 million fine that was just slapped on the online retailer in the EU. Drudge tweeted a link to the Washington Post, which Bezos also owns, as you guys know, noting there was no coverage of Amazon's multi-million dollar tax dodge fallout on the front page. He stated $300 million fine against Amazon for tax dodge in EU, nothing on Washington Post front page. Democracy dies with monopolistic Bezos, which I thought that was just kind of humorous, but it's not funny actually much at all because, as you guys know, Bezos is the one that owns Amazon and Washington Post that he pretty much uses for his political purpose to save Amazon in terms of taxes and in terms of antitrust laws. Amazon's just a nightmare. I had a conversation with another supplier today about Amazon with what they do with a lot of their prices. We were talking about some MAP prices on a product, which is, you know, the lowest minimum accepted prices from a manufacturer. And so we were talking about one of the products, and I looked on there. I said, dude, I said, Amazon is selling this product for like $49.02 is what they had it for, $49.02. And I said, what is y'all's MAP pricing on this product? And she goes, oh, our MAP pricing is $48.99. I said, oh, okay, so they've met your MAP pricing. She goes, yep, they've met our MAP pricing by 3 cents. And I said, you guys understand how ridiculous this is? This is what they do with everything. They absolutely cut the entire market out with online health food stores, online retailers, brick-and-mortar health food stores, all this stuff. She goes, yeah, I know. She goes, I talk to the marketing department about it all the time, and we try to get stuff done. She goes, but Amazon is like makes up like 40, 50, 60% of like everybody's sales now all over the place. So nobody wants to hack them off. Nobody wants to get on their bad side because they'll drop you immediately. And that's what they do, guys. This is what Amazon does. They've turned into a full-blown monopoly, and they're out to control and dictate the entire online marketplace and shut down the entire brick-and-mortar marketplace, which they've done an incredibly good job at, especially in the retail clothing market over the last couple of years, Dad. But I thought it was funny that Matt Drudge called him out over Twitter because they had that $300 million fine in the EU because they're constantly taking income and funneling it to other countries that they don't have to pay income tax on it out of Amazon. They've done that numerous times, especially even in the United States. So that way he can, you know, continue to rack in his tens of billions of dollars every year, I guess.
Well, you know, Jeff Bezos is a weirdo. I mean, he's a weirdo. I mean, I've listened to him on shows before, and there is absolutely no way that this guy did this on his own. I mean, no. He didn't do it. I mean, he acts like he's retarded. I mean, it's absolutely crazy that this guy is able to get away with what he's done and pull this kind of stunts. I mean, this is absolutely nuts. This guy has absolutely he's just a weirdo. I mean, he's just a weirdo. Now, don't get me wrong, he may have a really high IQ. I got that. I mean, I'm not seeing an IQ test on him, and I do know my friends in college that had really high IQs. Most of them were basically weirdos. They were just total weirdos. I mean, you couldn't even talk to them. They were just weirdos because, you know, they couldn't make any sense. I've got people that I know now that have real high IQs. And one of them came by and visited us a few years ago, Austin, and she's a computer wizard. And I remember you told me, she goes, what's wrong with this woman? She's like crazy. And I'm like, well, no, she's not crazy. She's just weird because with the high IQs, that's what happens. In some cases. By the way, Germany's social media hate speech law is now in full effect. How do you like that?
Wow.
A new law has come into force in Germany aimed at regulating social media platforms to ensure they remove hate speech within set periods of receiving complaints, within 24 hours of straightforward cases, and within 7 days where the evaluation of content is more difficult. The name of the law translates to the enforcement on social networks. It's also referred to as the NSDG, an abbreviation for its full German name. Fines up to 50 million euros can be applied under the law if social media platforms fail to comply through, as though a Spiegel Online reports, there's a transition period for companies to gear up for compliance, which will end on January the 1st of 2018. Then the 50 million euro fines are applied. However, the ministry in charge has started inspections already this month. Germans are efficient, I'll give them that. Social platform giants such as Facebook, YouTube, Twitter were couched as the initial targets for the law, but Spiegel Online suggests the government is looking to apply the law more widely, including Reddit, Tumblr, Flickr, Vimeo, and Gab. The usage bar for complying with the takedown timeframe is being set at a service having more than 2 million registered users in Germany. While Spiegel Online reports that the German government is intending to have 50 people assigned to the task of implementing and policing the law, it also says all social media platforms, regardless of size, must provide a contact person in Germany for user complaints or requests for information from investigators. Recent inquiry queries will need to be answered within 48 hours or risk penalties internationally will apply. I mean, I don't even know what to say, Austin. One obvious question here, how many fines could be applied across international borders if the social media firm has no bricks and mortar presence in Germany? So this is absolutely crazy what Germany is doing. But remember, Germany is a vassal state of the United States. That's who we are. That's who they are. And they're in charge of, I guess, implementing this New World Order approach to hate speech, getting the beta testing done on it, and implementing it nationwide and globally, Austin. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the big aspects of what they love doing and what they've been pushing now for years. They don't want anybody talking about essentially what we're talking about. They want no truth to stem anywhere from social media, from anywhere online, from anywhere on talk radio, from anywhere of, you know, our radio show that we have. That's what they're doing. And they don't have the First Amendment right over there in Germany, remember? And I mean, we've seen numerous YouTube videos that have been released and taken down eventually of German citizens that have posted videos up and said, this place is basically turning into a nightmare. We got Muslims assaulting our children. Then we file a police report. Then they come investigate us because when they talked to the Muslims said that they said some type of hate speech to them, so they're investigating us now. And it's ridiculous, you know. I remember that one video where the guy, he had like a pocket pistol. It wasn't even a real pistol. It was like a starter pistol, like you use to start races. And he pulled it out on one of the Muslim degenerate kids that was like trying to rob him and his son. And the kid ran and told the police, and the police came and interviewed him and said, well, you have a starter pistol in your house. We're going to confiscate that. Now we need it immediately. And they took his starter pistol from him that didn't even shoot anything. It was basically a blank gun, essentially, is what it was. And that's what they're doing. And so anytime somebody comes out on social media, they immediately shut it down. I mean, right off the bat, no, can't talk about that. They're doing it in Sweden. They're doing it everywhere. They're trying to completely shut down free speech all over the globe, period. The United States is much harder because of what we still have with the First Amendment and the Internet ability. That's why Obama was trying so hard to implement the Internet kill switch over here to be able to shut down the entire Internet at any given time for any emergency or state of emergency or natural disaster, whatever he wanted to do, he could do it. The thing about it is, though, with all the different aspects of the Internet and with backup generators and everything else, it still makes it difficult to really shut down the entire Internet, and the globalists absolutely hate that part because they can't control the narrative if we're out here talking about the truth, bringing up real topics like we're doing with this Vegas aspect. When all of us come together and we bring up different ideas, different thoughts, different conclusions, all these different aspects of it, we all start going, yeah, that's plausible, or no, that really wouldn't work that way, but this is possible. And so we start looking at this from an outside perspective instead of just believing exactly what the CNN narrative wants to tell us, which is where they want us to get our. They don't want the media to give us anything except what they tell them to. So if they can shut down Facebook, they can shut down free speech in Germany, all you're going to have is the government-backed media that's telling you what's going on. The Muslims are good. The Muslims are here to repopulate. Be nice to the Muslims. Give them your house. Let them rob you. Let them rape your women. They're good people. This is the law of the land. That's what they want to do with the psychological operation that they're doing over in Europe. And it's quite sad. It really is sad. Now, also, too, I was just reading earlier that it's a totally different topic now, but I wanted to bring this up because I'm a huge, huge fan of olive oil now. But I just got an article now from Aaron Kessler, and he said now apparently the mob that's based out of New York and everything, they're selling fake olive oil and making a significant amount of money on it. They said olive oil is a $1.5 billion industry in just the United States alone. Well, according to Tom Mueller, an investigative journalist who wrote an eye-opening book exposing fake olive oil, he said 70% of the extra virgin olive oil sold is diluted and cut with cheaper oils now, according to Mueller. He said you in many cases are getting lower-grade olive oil that has been blended with some extra virgin olive oil, and you're sometimes getting deodorized oil as well. He said they blend it with some that has some character to give it color, a little flavor, and they sell that as extra virgin. It's illegal. That happens all the time. Olive oil has been valued highly in various cultures as food and as a medicine. And essentially what they're doing now is it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem. He said right now it's a huge international business. Americans alone spend approximately $700 million just on olive oil annually. Now if 70 to 80% of that is fake and is dissolved with other less expensive oils, you can see the profit in producing fraudulent olive oil. Said the biggest thing to do is make sure you're buying it from a true, reputable brand. You know exactly who they are. Even contact them if you need to and make sure that they know where they're getting it from, because a lot of this stuff, they're putting just vegetable oil in it or corn oil in it or cutting it in different ways, reheating it slightly, and then bottling it and selling it to you. So be very, very wary of that. I'm also a big fan of coconut oil, which that's a pretty much almost impossible one to cut, because coconut oil is very, very significant of the way it looks and how it's a solid essentially at room temperature most of the time when it's cold. So that's a very difficult one to mess with. That's why a lot of times it's harder to find coconut oil for a much cheaper price. And I have noticed that lately is that a lot of olive oil seem to be getting cheaper, which doesn't make any sense, especially with the commodity market. The only way that would make sense is if they are cutting the olive oil with a lot cheaper oil. So stay with coconut oil if you can. That's a really, really good oil all the time to cook with, and it still tastes good and does great for cholesterol, can really help increase HDL levels. I had an individual ask us about that earlier, about how good cholesterol, having good healthy cholesterol and good numbers, but the HDL is low. You know, the cod liver oil is really good for that. The Cholesterol X supplement we have is really, really good for that. And also throwing in organic whole eggs every day and throwing in some avocados and some coconut oil, that will massively increase your HDLs rapidly. It'll actually help your memory, your brain functioning, your sex drive. I mean, it helps out with everything when you've got good fats in your body like that, really healthy fats, and it really helps increase your HDL levels too, Deb.
You're absolutely right. What they do is a lot of times they cut it with canola oil because the olive oil will hide its taste, and then they put chlorophyll in it, which is like a green plant extract, and that gives you that green tinge that you have on fresh, organic, virgin-pressed olive oil. So you think you're getting the correct oil, but you're not, and it's got the green tint to it, but it's because it's got chlorophyll in it, and that's if they don't use an artificial color in it. I see a lot of restaurants do this all the time. I know over in Orlando, we go to a place, we used to go to a place on a regular basis, it's called Brio's, and they've got pretty good food, but they cut their olive oil with canola oil. And we always, when we used to go there, we used to ask them, can you please bring us the pure virgin olive oil that is not cut with canola oil, because we don't use that. And a lot of times they would do that. A lot of times the servers didn't even know they were doing that. So always ask when you go to a restaurant, I want the real olive oil, I don't want the cut stuff. And secondly, always make sure you ask them if they're cooking the food in butter, or if they're cooking it in olive oil, or what they're cooking the food in. It's very important that you know that. If you can request the whole, you know, the whole organic butter if they've got that, or the virgin olive oil, or even coconut oil. But guys, don't just trust what they're cooking. Just a few minutes ago, or a few hours ago, we were over at Costco, and I picked up there was a lady in front of me in line, and she had a bunch of relatively healthy food on her tray, you know, when it was on the conveyor belt. And I saw a double thing of Jif peanut butter. So apparently I think she has some kids. And she had bought some pretty good bread. And I asked her, I said, do you mind if I look at your Jif peanut butter? And she goes, no. And I said, I'm just going to check the ingredients on it. So I looked at them, and I put it back down. And she goes, well, what's in it that you were concerned about? I said, it contains hydrogenated oils. And she goes, oh, didn't ask me anything about hydrogenated oils, bought the Jif peanut butter. I mean, you got to be living in a cave somewhere in Afghanistan not to know what hydrogenated oils do. But it's just one of those things, guys. You've got to look at what's in these products, because hydrogenated oils have linked to heart disease, to diabetes, to cancer, to breast cancer. I mean, it's just there's a plethora of diseases that are tied to trans fats and hydrogenated oils. And quite frankly, I can't believe they're leaving that stuff on the market. It should have been off the market long ago. Guys, thank you for supporting us. I'll be happy when this week is over, whether we get some more answers on what happened in Vegas so we can stop reporting on this. But in the meantime, we've got to give you the up-to-date information on it. Thanks for getting your multiples from us. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for praying for us. Thanks for being supportive of us. And thanks just for praying for us. I'll go ahead and do the write-up, Austin. You go ahead and do the close. Love you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. I will be happy when we get some more answers on this and figure out what's going on. This is a negative topic that I don't like to bring up, but we have to give you guys whatever information we find every day and the pertinent knowledge that I have behind this and Dad has behind this to kind of give you guys at least our opinion on it, and then you can make your decision on what you believe and what you don't believe with it. But a lot of weird stuff behind all this. But on another note, guys, thank you for the support. Thank you for all the emails, and be sure to check the website out at healthmasters.com. It's Wednesday. Product of the week just got changed over earlier that we did. The magnesium brain food won again. It just won like a month ago, but you guys keep hitting this product. You keep voting for it, and you keep loving it. It's a very, very great magnesium formula. Actually crosses through the blood-brain barrier, and I wasn't sure if it was going to win yesterday. It already had a lot of votes, but it got boosted up even higher overnight, so be sure to check that out and give it a try. It's on sale for over 10% off. Really, really popular product. I drink it every day in my workout drink. During my workout, I drink a scoop of the magnesium brain food, a scoop of the HGH stimulate, and a scoop of the muscle blast. I mix it in about a 30-ounce glass bottle, and I drink that while I work out. Really pretty much reduces muscle cramps to zero, increases blood flow, gives you a wicked pump, and then the muscle blast adds in there to prevent from going catabolic while you're working out. So that's my personal stack. A lot of people ask me about it. There it is on the website, Magnesium Brain Food on sale, healthmasters.com. If you need anything, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.